awesome. All right. How are we doing? Good. Awesome. All right. So this morning's reading, we're going to do something a little bit different. We're going to do a responsive reading. And if you're not sure what a responsive reading means, it means I'm going to read one, and then you're going to read one. Okay. So I'll start, and then you're going to do two. I'll do three. You do four. Okay. And that way, I only have to read half as much, so that's better. No, I'll help you out. We'll get through this. All right, so we are reading from Psalms 24. And like most of them, this is a psalm from David. Let's begin. The earth is the Lord and everything in it, the world and all who live in it. For we founded it on the seas and established it on the waters. Good. Who may ascend to the mountains of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart, and who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god. All right, we're doing good. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindications from God their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, God of Jacob. Lift up your heads, your gates be lifted up, your ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, your gates. Lift them up, your ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. God add his blessings to the reading of this.
I see Jean Dolly's in the house. You're in the doghouse. Did you know that, girl? Is that why you were late? So we done already prayed for you. She's in the doghouse. I'm not used to drawing attention to people. But I want to make sure everybody knows who Miss Jean Dolly is so that we might continue to pray for her throughout the week. She'll appreciate that. Amen. Amen. Lord, continue to bless Miss Jean. Continue to bring about healing within her physical body. Amen. How's that for a prayer shot? See how simple that is? See how simple that is? Not even complicated. Next time your friend's complaining about something, give them a prayer shot. Not, hey, I'm going to pray for you. Let me pray for you. Dear Lord, please help Felipe grow in a nice beard, just like he wants. Amen. One day, brother, nice and white. I'm just telling you. Your day's coming, brother. I'm just telling you. Your day's coming. Thank you for that. It's kind of the Psalm 24. They kind of go together, 22, 23, and 24, because they're about a shepherd. And we talked about Psalm 23 even a little bit more this morning in Sunday school. If you're not coming to Sunday school, you're missing some good opportunities where we dive into the Word a little bit better. So Psalm 22 is a picture kind of the good shepherd dying for his sheep. Psalm 23 is kind of the great shepherd caring for his sheep. And then Psalm 24 is the chief shepherd coming again for the sheep. He's coming for the sheep, okay? So what you have there is you have a picture of the past, the present, and the future. If you ever wanted to kind of run all that together, I would encourage you greatly over the Thanksgiving time to read just those Psalms, 22, 23, and 24. Maybe even at Thanksgiving, you read a Psalm. 122, 23, 24, right? If you're nervous about saying prayer around family members, or you're nervous about being, maybe you just, hey, let me read a Psalm of Thanksgiving. Let's just read a Psalm. You read a Psalm. But I'd encourage you to continue on and read those Psalms, 22, 23, and 24. We're going to focus on 24. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. That's a pretty bold statement. The world, are you ready for this part? Oh, are you ready for this part? And all who live in it. The earth is the Lord's and everything in it. The world and all who live in it. He founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. So here's your first one. It's a sense of ownership. ownership. Christians are people who understand the world a little bit differently than others. We believe that God created the world. That'll isolate you in some parties. Just saying that. God created the world. Right? You get all kinds of scenarios. But God created the world. We believe that God created the world. We believe that something did not come from nothing. That everything that is created had a creator. We either were created or we just came to be. God created the world. It belongs to Him. God created people. They belong to Him. I know that you have children and you think they belong to you, but give that a few years and you'll quickly realize they're on their own. That God created them as well. Think about all the plants, all the animals, all the materials belong to Him, and they exist as a result of His creative acts. They exist because of His creative acts. And do not begin to believe that you're the only created dimension. The scriptures are very clear about other dimensions, other spiritual dimensions, other created dimensions, invisible, if you will, dragons, angels, things that we can barely even begin to comprehend and understand in our earthbound, finite, stuck on this world understanding. Stars and planets and galaxies that just dwarf our solar system. God is an amazing God with limitless creativity. That's an amazing and an awesome God. And even in that, often we hear prayers like this. Dear Lord, we got up early, had to go to work, struggled all day, sweat all day, put up with pressure from an ungrateful boss all day, just to pay for this food, to pay for this gas, to pay for these clothes. So basically, thanks for nothing. God just says, I woke you up. You're welcome. By His grace, you draw another breath. By His mercy, you have a mind to think. And by His patience, you have a tongue to speak. He's been very patient with lots of your tongues. And by His love, He allows the world to persist. And if you jump ahead, you kind of know somewhere along the line the persistence patience ends. God can just recognize sometimes we're just not there yet. And even as a species of creation, of His creation, we're just not there yet. Many of us are stuck in our own arrogance. Have you ever heard this joke before? I was going to hesitate to share, but many of you probably heard it before. It's like God has advanced so far down the evolutionary trail that we are now able to create our own people. So, there's a little conversation between man and God, saying that we are now capable and able to create people. You created them out of the dust of the ground. We are now able to create people out of the dust of the ground. So let's create people between God and man. God and man. Let's do this. So there's a competition between God and man. Let's do this from the dirt and the dust of the ground. All right, God, ready? Man bends down, grabs some dirt, and God just goes, whoa, 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 get your own dirt. All right, heard that before? See, what do you think you possibly can create? God recognizes that we're just not quite there yet. Sometimes we're stuck in our own arrogance. And this one's really going to hurt some of you. You're not in control. You're not in control. Where's my wife? Is she not here to hear this? I guess I'm not in control. Amen. Amen. our God is sovereign. Well, what does that even mean, right? What does that even mean? He's the owner of it all. Because he created it all. I know I used to say things like, where were you, God, when I was working my tail off and sweating hard and working and digging and grinding and sweating? Felt like I had to earn my living. Where were you in all of that? I had to earn my pay, pay my way. I had to do all the work. Where were you? Somewhere along the line, I realized God created me to work. That I was not outside of God's will or purpose for my life. See, this goes all the way back to Genesis. Then the Lord God formed a man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east. We would call it Eden. And there he put the man that he had formed. The Lord God made all kinds of trees to grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil lived. The Lord God put the man and put him in the Garden of Eden. Are you ready? To work it and take care of it. Gave him Eden to work it and to take care of it. And then we know the structure. We know the instructions. God commanded the man, you're free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat, you will surely die. And then, of course, God said, it is not good for the man to be alone. I will make a helper suitable for him. Do you kind of see what's going on here? I hope you can kind of see it. Man was created to work and to tend the garden. In Eden, he was in paradise. Is this before or after the fall? This is all before. This is all before the fall. You to work it and to care for it. God has designed us in such a way, or designed men in such a way, as that we are to work and to tend. See, work is not a result of sin. Woo! Work is not a result of sin. Fig leaves are, clothes are, frustration is, war is, division is, certainly death is a result of sin. Man's dominion over the garden is to include the entire world, to attend all the plants, all the animals, to attend the flocks, the gardens, to build cities. God expects us to multiply, right? Be fruitful and multiply. He expects us to expand our culture. He expects us to diversify our own creativity. Our own creativity. Art and music and technology. These are not going against God's will. This is the work of man, which he gave for us to do. God gave us Eden. He gave us paradise, and man corrupted it. And we get corrupted in the ways in which we think. We get corrupted in the ways in which we deal with other people. And then toiling, the work becomes extraordinarily difficult. Why? The fall. But God expects the greatness of his creation to shine brightly. This is why you were created, to shine brightly, to be creative, to work, to tend the garden, to bring him glory. Wow. Are you shining brightly? Does your life bring glory to God? Challenging questions. Are you doing what God has created and designed you to do? God has given us dominion. And then we are the stewards. There's a slide for you. A steward takes possession on behalf of the owner, and he has all the rights to do what he chooses, but he's not the owner. Stewardship, the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Stewardship. Exactly what do you think you own? You are stewards. You don't even own your own self. You don't even own your own breath and your own life. Certainly, we're not in control of much. Many of us would say, I've died to self, and Christ lives in me. Well, see, you know what that's saying? That's saying that you've died to your ways. You've died to your ways to live as Christ would live. Not live as you would live, but live as Christ would live. You died to your ways of thinking. Not to think as the world would think or your flesh would think, but to think as Christ would think, as God would think. You've died to your ways of acting. Acting, yes, to act as Christ would act in a circumstance, in a situation. Not how you would react, not how the government would react, not how your flesh would respond, but you've died to yourself so that Christ might live in you. And you've died to your way of speaking. Have you? That you might speak as Christ would speak. To learn to walk with the Holy Spirit and in the Holy Spirit of God. And that process has been, for me, sanctification process. You have a progressive sanctification. So in that, I had to unlearn some things. You have to unlearn some things. Some things that have been ingrained in you all your life, all your ways. And then you're trying to say, I don't want to live my way, I want to live Christ's way. And what does that look like? Well, it might look like you need to unlearn some stuff. You need to unlearn selfish ways. I had to unlearn worldly ideals. I had to unlearn the definition of success. I had a very Western, all-American boy definition of what success was. That's not God's definition. Was I living unsuccessfully, even if I was successful in the Western world's ways? Yes, in God's eyes. I choose not to live my ways, but to live His ways. I had to let go of my versions of what that looked like, and I had to learn that I don't own anything. Not even myself. I'm a steward. You are a steward of your own body. You are a steward of your own money. Steward of your own stuff. But what do you own? What stuff is your own? What money is your own? And then I came to the realization I did own something. Oh, I owned my choices. Are you ready to own something in the world of stewardship? Own your choices. Own your choices. That's really all you own. Talk about free will. I give you Eden. Choose. Tend the flocks. Tend the garden. Don't eat of that tree. Live in paradise. Let me walk with you. Don't eat of the tree. Make your choice. And then you get to own your choice. And listen, from Nelson Mandela, I pray your choices reflect your hopes, not your fears. Verse 3, who may ascend the mountain of the Lord? Who may stand in this holy place? It says the recognition that there's an entrance. There's your next slide, an entrance. So one of the things I was contemplating was that I read there were a couple bands that were coming into town. Rolling Stones are coming. I wanted to go kind of see Sammy Hagar and those guys. And I was thinking, you know, I might just go check them out. I probably wouldn't even need a ticket. I could probably just show up and they'd let me in. They'd probably even give me backstage passes, particularly Mick Jagger, because I bought his album once. So I'm sure he knows who I am when I show up and say, hey, maybe I could sing, can't get no satisfaction, right? Maybe I could, jumping jack flashes, gas, gas, gas. Maybe he'd let me join him on stage. I could see what those guys probably can't. Dylan. I could certainly, like, Dylan would probably let me in. I bought two of his albums. For certain he'd let, I couldn't sing any worse. For sure he'd want me to hang out with him. What do you think? What do you think my odds are? Not too good? Not too good at getting backstage with Bob Dylan? Crushing my dreams. Why do you think that is? Why is security so tight? Why can't I just hop on stage with the Rolling Stones? Taylor Swift, maybe? I don't know. Why? Why is security so tight? Do you think it's to protect them? Why is security so tight? For protection. To protect them. Right? We like security around the church. Why? To protect you. Protection. Do you think heaven has tight security? Why? Why would it? To protect them? To protect them. To protect the sanctuary of those who have gone to heaven? Is there anybody in here that would say, I know somebody in heaven? My mama. My children. Anybody know anybody that you would say, gone to some funerals and you went, they made some sweet professions of faith during their life. Man, I know if anybody's hanging out with Jesus, they're hanging out with Jesus. Why would there be tight security around Eden, around paradise, to protect them? To protect them. Do you think that a mansion on streets of gold where no more tears and no more pain and no more sorrow needs some protection? What do you think the probability that you gain access to a place like that? The presence of God. Paradise. Backstage pass at Eden. Really? Look at what you did to this world. Look at what you did to this world. Any security guards to protect from evil entering, to protect from sin. Some people think they'll get an automatic bid into a heavenly place. They get the backstage pass because somehow they've deserved it, somehow they've earned it. They bought a Bible once. They went to church twice last year. For sure I get the all-access backstage pass into heaven. Well, you know, I heard that God is forgiving. You know, he'll just let anybody in. I heard that about the Stones and Bob Dylan. Probably not very accurate. I don't know. I know that I'm not in control. So I don't control who gets in and who doesn't. But neither do you. But neither do you. I don't control who gets in or who doesn't, and neither do you. But I do know something about what the Lord has said concerning that. Who may ascend the mountain of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place? Who may do that? The one who has clean hands and a pure heart. How are we doing so far? I'm already eliminated. Anybody else? Who does not trust in an idol or swear by a false god? See, those are some pretty specific guidelines about trying to access getting your ticket in. You think you're getting in? Your dirty hands? Your tongue? You think you're getting in? Your polluted heart? You think you can stand in the presence of a holy God? He's going to let you in to that place? No more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. Walking on the golden streets, everybody's got a mansion. You think you can do that? Look what you did to this world. And you think you're going to go there? You clean enough? You pure enough? See, clean hands can kind of hold this meaning of kind of like, you know, your actions, the things that we do, the things that we handle, right? Our heart can kind of hold the meanings of our intentions, things that we meant to do. Things that we know are good and right. Not that we do them, but we know that they're good and we know that they're right. And oftentimes our good intentions and our motives are pure, but our actions, not so much, right? Not so much. So doesn't it kind of say those who have clean hands and pure heart? Those that have a pure heart and clean hands? See, this is the tendency. We have a tendency to judge ourselves based on our intentions, and then we judge others based on their actions. Right? Heard that before? We have a strong tendency to do that, right? And then we all know this phrase. This is your next slide. The road to hell is paved. You think way too little of God's holiness if you think by some stretch of your imagination that you've earned it. Or by some way you deserve it because you bought a Bible once. That you get an all-access backstage pass into that place called Eden and paradise in heaven. Like somehow you're clean enough that you weren't that bad. Well, how much bad should be in heaven? How about this one? Well, this one speaks right to the intentions. God knows my heart. God knows my heart. Surely I can ascend the holy hill because God's going to judge me on my intentions, not on my actions. Really? Really? Countless people will be left out of paradise in heaven because they think they're good enough, they think they're pure enough, they think they're clean enough. But I think, maybe you'll join me in the statement in the summary and understanding this. I think God has tighter security than the Rolling Stones. I think God has more to protect than the Rolling Stones. Heaven has strong admission rules. Heaven's got some pretty tight security. Some of you know. Some of you know. Thank God. Thank God, thank God, thank God. Praise be to your holy name. Praise God, praise God, thank God, thank God. He has paved a way. And it's not paved to the road to hell, it's paved to the road to heaven. Your backstage pass, your all-access pass, stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ. Stamped in the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody better say, thank God. Thank God. Your all-access pass into eternity, Jesus Christ. He's carved a way, paved a way, made a way. Not your works, Jesus, and Jesus only. Not your efforts and your actions, Jesus. and Jesus only. Not your charity and your philanthropy, Jesus and Jesus only. Not your intentions, but Jesus and Jesus only. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Who may ascend the holy hill? The righteous of God. That in him we have become righteous. And Jesus answered very clearly, I am the way, I am the truth, I am the life, and no one comes unto the Father except through me. That's some pretty tight security. You're either going to follow Jesus or you're going to accept the world's idea. Are you a Christian? Are you a Christ follower? Are you a disciple of God? Which means your ways of thinking do not matter. God's ways of thinking. Your intentions are absolutely irrelevant. Jesus paved the way for you to have eternal life. End of statement. And everyone on the planet needs to come to hear about Jesus, and they get the right to say, I'm going to own my choice. I'm going to accept that backstage pass, or I'm going to continue to live in the world and follow something else, follow someone else, live in the pleasures of this world, believe something else about creation. There's 1,000,000,000 ways to go. There's only one Jesus Christ. Religion, all pointing to God. All the religions pointing to God. Jesus, God, coming to you, saying, I am the way. Here's your ticket. Oh, you don't want it? Oh, here's your ticket. Oh, you don't want it? Oh, here's your ticket. Oh, praise be to God, you'll be with me in paradise and in heaven. Here's your ticket. You want the pass? Accept the stamp of Jesus Christ's blood upon your soul. You don't want it? Okay. One thing that I think you own in this world of stewardship, your choices. And those that can ascend the mountain, those that can ascend the holy place, through Jesus we have that blessing and so many more. Verse 5, they will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from our God, their Savior. Such is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, O God of Jacob. Do you seek him? Do you desire him? Do you want him? Do you need him? Is all you've got now is you got a ticket that says, I believe in Jesus for the forgiveness of my sins and the shedding of his blood that I may enter into his presence and be with you for all eternity. I believe in you, Jesus. Now what? Now what? Now what? Now what? Now I'm just standing on the track waiting for the train to arrive. Lord, I pray you come quickly, or you load me on the train and take me. That's where we're at, isn't it? You're standing with your golden ticket. Now what? Now what? God says he wants to bless you. That's your next one. Blessings. They will receive blessings from the Lord and vindication from God our Savior. I like that word. God blesses the seekers. God will guide those who seek. Any seekers in here today? I hope there's some seekers in here today. Everybody's looking for something. Everybody's seeking something. Fame, fortune, power, fun, the next party, peace, fulfillment. People are seeking stuff. Everybody in here, we're seeking something. Far too many people are looking in all the wrong places to find their fulfillment. And if you came here today seeking, you're in the right place. Those that seek shall find. I want to encourage you that if you're seeking and searching, that you try Christ. Go deeper into his word. Go deeper into prayer. He will guide you. He will teach you. He will lead you. And he will fulfill you. He's everything that you're longing for. He's everything that you need. I want to encourage those that are looking in all the wrong places. Consider Jesus. If all that you've been doing and all the roads that you've been traveling and all the methods that you've been attempting are not working, consider something else. Consider Jesus. If you're struggling to find something deeper, where's the meaning in my life? Where's the meaning and the point? Consider Jesus. If he's your creator, he has the answers. If you've been hurt by people, consider Jesus. If you've been hurt by religious people, consider Jesus. Look to Jesus. Come to me, all who are weary and burdened. Are you weary? Are you weary? Sometimes I get weary. You know when I find myself the most weary is when I watch world news. Oh, anybody? Anybody? Now listen, I want to be up to date. I want to know what's going on, but I cannot take that 24/7. I mean, give me the updates. Let me know what's going on, and then I'm done. If I feed myself that all day long, I'm weary. I'm dark. I'm miserable. I'm hopeless. Anybody? Burdened, right? Come unto me, Jesus. Jesus' words. Come unto me. Come unto me. Look to me. Read of my word. Hear of me. Understand me. Read of me. Take my yoke upon you. Learn. Learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest. Rest for your soul. You will find rest for your soul. Man. Talk about peace, confidence, assurance, regardless of what's going on around you. Look to Jesus. Consider Jesus. Churches talk about being seeker-sensitive churches, and we're a seeker-sensitive church because we're sensitive to anyone who's seeking. God is sensitive to those that are seeking. And with Thanksgiving coming up, maybe we need to begin to count our blessings. I'd encourage you again. Read the Psalms. Read some of those Psalms. Recognize the blessings that are all around us every day, every moment. Particularly if you've considered Jesus and you're holding on to your ticket. Now what? Well, consider me. If you're weary and you're heavy burdened and this world is plaguing, think of me. Look of me. My peace will be upon you. I don't want the peace of this world. I want the peace of God to the very depths of my soul. It's so easy to become overwhelmed with troubles and problems and difficult circumstances that we can miss the blessing. And sometimes the sweetest blessings are in children that are crying. Or caring for the sick. Feeding the hungry. Cooking for your family. What a blessing to cook for your family. What a blessing to be in church fellowship today. To feel the love of other people. The care and concern. See, it goes way beyond Thanksgiving. It's thanksliving, isn't it? It's really living thankfully. Moment by moment, day by day. Thank you, Lord. I'm holding on to my golden ticket because you are the way. You're the truth. Not all the other stuff. Help me stay focused on you that there might be rest in my soul. You need to have that attitude of gratitude, right? Here's your next slide. Because here's the truth. It's not happy people that are thankful. It's thankful people that are happy. Well, I just want to be happy. Well, be thankful. Happiness shows up. Our lives are a celebration of faith, not just food, right, for Thanksgiving. It's a celebration of our faith. It's a celebration of grace and mercy and love. And it's a celebration of all that is good. Every day is Christmas. Every night is New Year's Eve. You know who sang that? Okay. Go home and do some research. Every day is Christmas. Every night is New Year's Eve. New Year's Eve. You'll like it. It's a cool song. I bought the album. Lift up your heads, you gates, be lifted up, you ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty. The Lord, mighty in battle. What are you going through? What battles are you facing? The Lord is strong and mighty. Open up, open up. Let the Lord fight your fight. Let the Lord vindicate. The scriptures say he will be your vindication. You don't have to do that. Let God do it. I bet he does it better than you. Lift up your heads, you gates. Lift them up, you ancient doors. That is the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord Almighty. He is the King of glory. Here's your last one, a responsibility. We have a responsibility for time, talent, and treasure. We have a responsibility. We're stewards, so we have a steward responsibility. And this is a reassurance of who God is. Jesus is the one who met all the responsibilities, who met all the criteria, who met all the law, who met all the sinlessness so that he would pave a way for you, who could not do it. God himself is the only one capable. Jesus, the Lord, strong and mighty. Jesus, the Lord, mighty in battle. Jesus, the King of glory, King of all kings, Lord of all lords, and Jesus is coming again. I talk a lot about this oftentimes away from the pulpit, but it's good to mention in the pulpit. It's not your disability that defines you. It's your abilities that define you. Everybody talks to me about their disabilities all the time. Talk to me about your ability, not your disability, because you're responsible for your ability. Not what you can't do, but what you can do. We have a responsibility not to my limitations. I have a responsibility to the ability, to the gifts, to the talents that God has imparted upon you. And they're very different than mine. Thank God they're very different than mine. It takes all of us to make the fellowship in the body of Christ so beautiful and so diverse and so unified like the universe. Christ had a responsibility to fulfill and he did it. Do you feel a responsibility? Do you feel a sense of obligation? And do you do anything about it? Do you feel a sense of responsibility, I don't know, to tend paradise? To work in the Garden of Eden? To protect heaven? Do you feel a certain responsibility to your spouse, to your children, to your work, to your employer, to your church? Our responsibilities lie in what we can do. To know the good we ought to do and not do it, that's a sin. Well, my intentions are good. See, there it is. To know the good you ought to do, and not do it. New Life Alliance Church, we're a powerhouse of potential. We certainly are. We are a faithful fellowship of abilities. So I think there's one last slide. Let's not struggle to be what you're not. Rather, you better be everything you are. Let me pray with you. Father, I thank you for this opportunity to just be here with my brothers and sisters in Christ. Pray that you would continue to work in our lives, continue to minister to the very depths of our soul. Father, we believe in Jesus. We believe he paved the way for our eternal salvation. We come before you with thanksgiving, with praise, and with adoration in the name of your Son. Amen. God bless you guys. Oh, we'll do an offering now. Okay.